Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Sean Campbell, Adam Harahawk, your local alternative South State Radio.
And I got a broken foot.
Congratulations.
Well, I've been bitching about this ankle for going on two months now. And x-ray, nothing, no problem. Okay, we'll send you for an MRI. It takes forever for me to get an appointment. It takes me forever to get into to get the said MRI.
Right.
And I tell my doctor, you know, like, okay, like Sunday I was doing yard work. I went around the block with Joey in his stroller. Everything was fine. I wasn't even wearing my ankle brace. I wore my ankle brace to work yesterday, and everything was fine. I was like, okay, I think I'm taking a turn here. So I went to the doctor, and he says, how's everything going? I said, great. And I told him everything I just said to you, and I said, yeah, I feel great. He says, really? Because you got a stress fracture. Really? Well, I didn't say really. I said, no blank, and he replied back, yeah, no blank. Okay, I've never had a broken bone or anything like that, but I don't know what I'm doing. So I'm dealing with that.
Fun stuff.
And then I told you about my car almost catching on fire on Friday,
you
right?
You did tell me about that. So yeah. They figured out what was up with that?
Yeah, hose. No, problem with my hose.
Huh, there's always a problem with your hose, isn't there?
Yeah. On the way home from the studio after interviewing Nuke in the Night Shift, all the coolant just said, bye-bye.
Oh.
And my car completely overheated. Halfway home, I had to pull over, get a tow truck, take it over to a good friend over Auto Lake Service Center.
Right on.
And then dealing with that fun stuff.
Given your car issues, that dude's got to be just, like, could probably write you off as a dependent on next year's taxes.
I know, right? Well, I got off fairly decent this time. It wasn't like with Dorothy's vehicle last year right around this time.
Where, so, like, the everything went the ripped everything. Down on it.
Yeah. Yeah, mainly brakes. But, yeah, it was. He gave me the price. I'm like, hey, can we double it so we can, you know, can we just tell Dorothy we doubled it so I can go get me a new amp? But, you know, decided not to go that route.
Right. Probably should have, but, you know, best laid plans or something.
Something like that. So, yeah, that's the fun and exciting time in Adam Harahawk land.
Yeah, that it sounds like very fun and exciting times indeed.
Yeah.
God, the fact that we managed to get a show in here every couple weeks or so at this point, man, it's impressive.
Well, it's funny because it's like I'm looking forward to the show, and then it's just like
we can't do the show.
Yeah, like my world falls apart like at 2:59 every day.
I know it seems like there's a crisis of some sort every day between about 3 and 6 o'clock every Monday to Friday anymore.
And I want Thursdays. I'm looking forward to Thursdays because it was like, you know, Drew's going to be in studio and we'll be able to have a lot of fun. And now every time I have a doctor's appointment, I can just say, let me guess, Thursday. Yeah, how'd you know?
Because it's somehow the only day you ever have open.
Do you have another day? Maybe next Thursday. I'm like, what is wrong with you people? You know, there's other 4 days in the work week.
Right. Like, we couldn't do this, like, on a Monday where it doesn't particularly matter, or sometime in the middle of the week, something. Like,
yeah, right. Well, I was expecting them to actually put it on Tuesday, next Tuesday, because Dorothy has another one of her issue appointments on Tuesday.
Oh, boy.
But luckily, it was a... Luckily, I dodged that bullet. I just got to go this Thursday.
Fun.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this is great.
Yeah, good Lord. You're just like, every second of your day anymore is just taken up by some sort of
right?
crisis somewhere.
Right. And then to top it all off, I'd get, like a couple weeks ago, I got a letter saying they're being selected for jury duty.
Oh, and, well, you've got to be kidding me.
And yeah. And I got to like send that form back or call something. I can't find the goddamn letter.
Lovely. Now, I've never done the jury duty thing. Does I know they pay you some sort of compensation for being there, do they not?
It's like $12.
$12 a day?
Something like that, the courts do. But luckily, where I work, because it's union, I get paid my full day.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
So this could work out for... actually, it would probably work out really badly for this show, because they're probably going to expect, like, you know, a 9-to-5 kind of thing or something.
Oh, yeah, the court... The trial that you're going to be in there is, look at that, from 3 to 6 on a Thursday. Oh, my God, look at that. I'll be texting you from the jury box, whatever they call it. And I'm like,
this guy's so guilty.
So guilty. I'll be out of here in no time. Juror number five. Just texting
outside
my radio people.
Right. Just texting outside the court is all.
Jury
no worries.
Five. It looks like you have a hangover. Well, I had the day. I knew I was going to have the day off today. So yeah, I partied up last night.
Right.
Let's fry this guy and let's go.
Exactly. Wait, you realize capital punishment isn't a thing in the state. Well, what the hell? No one told me that.
Well, we at least do corporal punishment, right?
Right.
Get a bat.
Right. Let's just bust out the whip.
No, I was on jury duty a couple years ago, and I didn't serve on any case. I was there, and they never called my number or anything like that. So, hey, it was fine by me.
I mean, yeah, I guess it works out if you're still somehow getting paid for your whole day.
Right.
That must be nice, you and your highfalutin union.
Yeah.
BS.
Right? It is nice.
Like, whereas for me, like, I'd be losing out on... Well, in my case, I would be losing out on money. I'd be losing out on sleep because my schedule being what it is. So I'd be going in there like, you know what I'm really a big fan of? Murder.
Yeah.
I think murder should be legal. I think that... I should be able to kill whoever I want, whenever I want.
Your Honor, he's definitely not guilty based on his ethnicity. Dismissed? Okay.
Whatever I got to do to get out of this thing.
Your Honor, the voices in my head, this guy's guilty as hell.
Right.
Do I get to play with the gavel? What you wearing under those robes? Come on, be honest now. It's 100 degrees outside.
Yeah, and that's how Sean gets thrown in jail for contempt of court.
Yeah, you got Your Honor, you got the real honor down there just a swinging, don't you?
The real gavel.
The real gavel. Okay.
It's Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. Stick around, I got you. We'll be back after this. Arcade Fire on Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. Shall we do that hockey?
Yeah. I don't think we have much more hockey to talk about this year, so let's enjoy it while we can.
Well, as much as you can enjoy whatever the hell that was last night.
Oh, my God. I mean, has Vegas figured out Florida or what?
It would kind of appear that way.
They weren't able to keep Matt Tkachuk off the score sheet. He got his 10th of the season.
But they were able to chase Sergei Bobrovsky.
They did. The Vegas Golden Knights were able to get rid of Bobrovsky. And that was an ace up your sleeve. That's not good. 6-2 is your final. And the Vegas Golden Knights now... 7-2, excuse me. They now take a 2-0 lead in the series going back to Florida. We could be handing out a cup on the 10th. Not unless they figure something out. Things got a little chippy. I had to look at this. And I tried to look it up online, but apparently... all the highlight people want to save me from all of the misconducts. I'm looking at this. I mean, looking at penalties, you got a misconduct from Matt Tkachuk at 17:56. Ivan Barbashev also got one, so that's two misconducts. Three, Matty Tkachuk got another one at 14:01. Casey Fitzgerald got one, that's four. Keegan Kolsler, that's five. Kolslaw, five, that's five. Anthony Duclair got one. Eric Staal got one for unsportsmanlike conduct, abusive official.
I missed that, apparently.
Zach Whitecloud got a misconduct. Nick Cousins got a misconduct. I mean, I can keep reading this, but it's obvious that Florida was trying to send the message, and they were starting to really show some life in the third period. They were able to get some scoring in and some good plays, but it was two periods too late. I mean, Vegas already had a stranglehold on you. You needed to punch in a little earlier the next time.
Right. 148 total penalty minutes.
148 penalty minutes. Unbelievable. I mean, they just lost their demeanor. Not that Florida's really ever considered. They're trying to be the bruisers, right? They're trying to be. They're all trying to be Brad Marchand.
And they're not necessarily good at it.
They're not. Vegas is too well equipped. Florida, you've got a couple great players. Matt Tkachuk, I'm not taking anything away from that cat. He's doing very well, but Vegas has pretty much gotten under his skin.
Oh, yeah, you can tell.
So it's It's not looking good. Game three is on Thursday. Game four on Saturday. And I seriously think they're going to be handing out a cup. I'm going to be watching a cup being handed out during sessions on Saturday, right here on Solid State Radio.
I'd almost be shocked at this point if that's not exactly the way it goes. Like, they're showing life, but not nearly enough. Like, if they think gooning it up is what's going to get them back in this series, this isn't a team that you're going to be able to get away with that on. Because it's not like you take out one key component of their lineup and they're just rudderless by any means. I mean, now if you take Makhachuk off of Florida, that's game over. You're going to
– yeah.
They'll never score another goal again.
Yeah,
it ain't the same way with these guys.
No. No, it isn't. I mean, they got a couple good players, but then a lot of guys who just haven't stepped up. And Bob Broski, they figured out him. They figured out him in spades. They're in his head rent-free. So, I don't know. Unless Florida just really focuses on hockey and not trying to goon it up and trying to get past Aiden Hill, who has been looking fantastic. At least I was giggling about this cat a couple of weeks ago. I'm not laughing now. This guy looks like he is the real deal.
He's certainly come through for them when it counts.
Yeah.
No doubt about that.
But it's such a strong team defensively, offensively, that that's going to take a lot of pressure off of a goalie. And I'm sure Bob Broski is
feeling the same pressure right now.
He's saying the same thing on the Florida Panthers plane as it's taking out of Vegas right now. Listen, guys, I can't do it all. I need some help.
Right. That guy is feeling all the pressure in the world because no one's just putting up goals for Florida in this series.
No.
Like, he can't steal you every game. That's not going to be an effective strategy for getting out of this.
He has tried. He has made some really good saves in last night's game and in game one, but come on, Florida, you've got to figure. I mean, how many shots did he face? Never mind.
Not very many.
13 shots, and he let four of them sneak past him.
Yeah,
yikes! .692 save percentage. That is very non-Bob Broski esque.
No, not at all. Like, now you're starting to look like, you know, Blue Jackets here at Bobrovsky.
Pump the brakes. Blue Jackets have their own problems coming down the pipeline. We'll talk about that here in a little bit.
Oh, boy. Yeah, we'll get into that. Actually, let's get into that next. Okay. It's Happy Hour here at Solid State Radio. Beastie Boys on Happy Hour. And I am not going to lie to you. This is not something that I thought was in the realm of possibility ever. Like, after everything that went down, I didn't think that this would ever happen. Like, I'm kind of stunned right now, really. Like, I thought this guy would never get a gig again. But yet somehow, Mike Babcock's an NHL coach again.
Yes, he is. It was announced that he will be the newest, latest coach for the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Poor Blue Jackets.
Yeah, I mean, the guy has had some issues. A lot of those issues came to the press with his latest stint with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Which is funny because, like, if you went out there, Mike Commodore was telling his stories about Babcock for years before this. Like, we'd heard about, what was it, Chelly being benched in the Winter Classic in Chicago?
Yep.
We all knew Mike Modano being benched
in Dallas.
Yeah.
Spezza for Toronto.
Yeah,
went back in Ottawa. He doesn't like distractions, or he just likes to mess with people's heads. He doesn't like the whole distractions of Mike Modano's back in Dallas after Babcock's not of that mindset,
right?
But he's also he messes with people. He's been called a bully, but he's I don't know. It goes above that. It gets into people's heads. When he was going to McGill University, He majored in psychology. He gets into people's heads. And it really caused some problems in the Toronto Maple Leafs organization when, was it with Mitch Marner or something like that? He told Mitch Marner, I want you to make a list of all the players, how hard they work from the hardest working to the least hardest working. And so Marner, being the diplomat that he is, put himself at last. But then Babcock lets everybody know the list, especially the people who was at the bottom of said list.
Yeah.
Just above Marner. So, you know, that created a problem. That was a, I bet you Marner didn't have a friend in the world at that time. But, I mean, I don't know. The fact that and then you keep hearing the stories as, oh, yeah, he was a real asshole here. He was a real, he was a real pain in the butt here and there.
And now, everywhere, basically, that he went.
Yeah. Everybody's like, well, he's an accomplished coach. He was an accomplished coach as long as you put him in a very good situation. Yeah, he won a lot of gold medals, but it was for Canada. Look at that team that he coached to gold medals.
Right. It's not like they were by any means a bunch of slouches. I mean, you had one of the best hockey teams ever assembled.
Yes.
Like, I would hope you would win with those guys.
I would think so. Then he wins a cup for Detroit in 08, which I appreciate, which was 15 years ago yesterday. 15. I did not realize that.
Right. It's also the only cup he has won today.
Yep. 15 years. But, I mean, he also had a pretty stacked team. Lidstrom. He had Dominic Hasek, which, I mean, he didn't play much in the finals, but he got him there. Pavel Datsyuk, Henrik Zetterberg. He had a pretty decent team. But then he was cited as one of the reasons why Franzen just couldn't play anymore.
Yeah, like they just kept running him out there and running him into an effing wall, and then
he was Babcock got in his head and it just really messed up with him. Not only was he having concussion issues, he had Babcock getting into his psyche,
and that just causes even more issues. And then, you know, he was never really the same player after
Nope. So he is now a coach for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Where they know weird coaches anyway. They had John Tortorella for quite a bit. So
John Tortorella is like, yeah, he's also an a-hole, but he's a different kind. He's a more entertaining a-hole. Like, he's not as like, he's not playing psych games with people and just getting in their, you know, inside their psyches and just eating their souls. Yeah, like Babcock, I mean, does.
Tortorella, he is fiery. He's competitive. Babcock is just borderline evil.
Honestly, he's borderline psychopath.
Yes, I mean, really? He shows a lot of the signs. And considering his education, he should know that by now.
Well, you don't ever really self-diagnose all that accurately, probably.
But, I mean, the fact that, I mean, you touched on it. How did he get another gig? But then it's like, you know, you see, like, the problems that Stan Bowman, Joel Quenneville, like, and it's like, wow, maybe what he did wasn't so bad. You know, he didn't know about any players being diddled by their video coach or anything like that. So maybe, you know, by comparison, we should give him another shot.
But I mean, I guess there is... that to be
Columbus is also a desperate team.
I say Columbus is a very desperate team. I don't even who is Babcock replacing there. I don't even know.
I don't know. I don't even know who plays for Columbus because they've traded everybody away.
Well, don't they still have Line A?
Yeah,
they do. Your boy Merzlikens.
Oh, Elvis Merzlikens. Yeah. Well,
and
you're gonna find.
Johnny Gaudreau's there now. Like, I'm sure that'll be. If he asks for a trade out of there, that's gonna tell you everything. Okay, so apparently they were being coached by a guy named Brad Larson, who I've never heard of.
Brad Larson, wasn't he an assistant coach for the Griffins?
Was he? Maybe
the name rings a bell.
It's possible. He played for the Avalanche and the Thrashers in his actual playing days.
Okay.
Yeah, two seasons as a head coach, and he finished a combined 62-85.
Okay.
So did he not make it through all of... No, well, I guess so. No, he did. And then... Oh, sorry, 62-85-16, because they don't count the overtime losses in that.
Right.
Okay, that makes more sense. So not particularly great last year. They finished eighth in their division, I believe.
Yeah, they were absolutely horrible. I mean, the first red right wing is labeled the first right wing is Kirill Marchenko. Like, who the hell is that?
Kirill Marchenko, guy's got, well, he apparently put up 20 goals last season.
Adam Boqvist. We know that name.
I forgot Boakvist ended up in
Boone Jenner.
Another one of those guys that when Chicago's decided they were selling off everything, that they got rid of him.
Now that they're going to have what's his face playing for him here soon.
Don't remind me.
Yeah, well, the Blackhawks are probably a little disappointed that they traded away so many people, but that's fine. Who do we get from him?
Kubalik and Suter.
Dominic Kubalik and Pio Suter, yeah. So, sorry, they're ours now. But, yeah, I think Columbus, if I had to look at my crystal ball, I give it 2 years tops. And then I think Columbus is going to be back into the head coach pool.
Yeah, he's not going to do what they think he's going to do for them. Like, I think his time in this league really has kind of... I get the feeling the league's really passed him by. I mean, when you look at the record... And you look at what he's done up to, basically since he won the cup with the Wings in 08.
Yep.
And that's a team that arguably should have won a second cup.
They were a couple goals away.
Yeah, when we were, like, there's a lot of guys who didn't want to come to Detroit because of him, as we later found out.
Yeah, we found out that, you know, when... Kenny Holland was supposedly in the sweepstakes for Ryan Suter and
Zach Parise.
Zach Parise, which they end up not coming there. They both went to Minnesota. And looking hindsight being 2020, just fine with that because we would have been still saddled with that paycheck.
Yeah, those were some hefty contracts to be sure. But you look at it after those two runs, and arguably you should have had a couple. Like it was kind of quite a slide from there. You won. You had a couple more years where you got first or second in the division, then kind of trailed off in like a huge way. You have multiple years where you finished third or fourth from in your division from there on out in the Atlantic or whatever, and then the message just went out the window. He goes into Toronto, and he never finishes better than third in the Atlantic with them.
Yep.
And I still never really made it out of the first round of the playoffs with them.
His saving grace is what he did for Team Canada, because he was able to get a couple gold medals in the Olympics for Team Canada. But I mean,
Columbus isn't Team Canada.
No way. It's not even Team Lithuania. I mean, it's a far cry from it. And if you decide to go ahead and try to do all these mental games with them, that team is going to crumble, and you're going to be out of a job. And I don't think there is another chance for him after this.
Yeah, this has to be your last chance, you would think. And it's not going to go well here because, A, he probably is going to do all the same things that he's notorious for doing elsewhere.
Yep.
Also, Columbus just isn't that good. They don't have the talent to...
They really don't.
Like, who other than Laine? Like, they don't have a whole hell of a lot on that roster. There's nothing there.
Boudreau, Laine, and that's
it.
That's it. Unless they really draft well, but I don't even know where they are in the draft line.
I seem to remember them being fairly low-ish in the draft order. Like, they're not...
I think they're middle of the pack.
Oh, okay, they're third.
Oh, the third? Oh, okay. There should be some good talent, but Columbus would be the type to get a decent player and then throw him to the Wolves first game.
Right.
As opposed to how other teams decide to ripen their players a little bit.
Yeah, he's going to ruin whoever the hell they drafted third overall. I would put money on it.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at... Yeah, Gaudreau, Laine, and Boone Jenner are basically all you've got that's particularly good. Marchenko's okay. You know, rookie year, like, he did rather well, but, you know, that's not necessarily... We don't know that he's going to keep that up for the course of... Like, that may be one of those one-season wonder kind of things. And with Babcock there, I fear that might even be more the case.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens, but I don't see this team responding well to him. I see him being out of a job after a couple of years. I see Columbus continuing to finish seventh or eighth in the Metropolitan.
Unless they're able to draft well at third spot, because if you remember, was it 1983? The Red Wings drafted third overall. That player was Steve Yzerman. Oh, actually, I think it was fourth overall. So it's possible.
It's possible, sure, but there's really not, like, Connor Bedard was the, he's the generational game-changing talent tier.
That's what we heard about Lafreniere and all the other.
Well, New York's also apparently a terrible organization. Who knows?
They couldn't make Gerard Gallant work.
Right? Adam Fantilli is basically your next tier guy, and then it really doesn't seem to matter much from there. Like, it's, you know, this guy, and, you know, huge, you know, big old name on the marquee, then this other cat who's, you know, in about a half that size font underneath, yeah. And then it's just whatever and barely legible.
So I have, like, a wild rumor. Speaking of draft, do we want to get into wild rumors now, or do we want to do wild rumors later?
We'll do wild rumors next.
Okay.
Here's Nothing But Thieves at Solid State Radio. I don't care that it's not summer officially for another 2.5 weeks or whatever it is. It's summer enough for me. That's Len. Steal My Sunshine. Your local alternative is Solid State Radio. So you've been growing some wild rumors over there, apparently, Adam, is what I was told.
I'm not growing them, but definitely plucking them out of the clickbait that came across my feed. NHL trade rumors, take that for what it's worth. We started talking about the draft, which is coming up in about 22 days. I didn't realize that the Detroit Red Wings have 2 first-round picks. I forgot about that. They have their 9th, and then they have the 17th.
To be fair, I kind of forgot about this as well.
Yeah, it was that Hronik deal.
Oh, that's right.
Yep. So that worked out. Anyway, NHL Trade Rumors has a mock trade series where the Red Wings go after Erik Karlsson from the San Jose Sharks.
Okay.
So he's like, Erik Karlsson, he is in his 30s, 33, I believe. Here is the thing that they put up as the trade, and I don't know if how I agree with this. Sharks trade Erik Karlsson, retaining 50% of his salary, to the Red Wings for the 2023 first-round pick, 17th overall, 2023 second-round pick, and prospect left defenseman Albert Johansson.
Well, considering that I didn't know Albert Johansson was a person that existed until you read that sentence, I'm surprisingly okay
with it. I didn't realize they were still naming kids Albert. Okay, here we are.
Say, who's naming their kid Albert? Yeah, and, you know,
was he, like, 65? Okay, let's do this, guys. All right.
You had to kind of wonder, man.
I mean, the Sharks would have to eat some of that cap because, I mean, 11 and a half.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
For the next 4 seasons.
Oh, my God.
But, I mean, is Erik Karlsson really that marquee name anymore? He's 33. They are saying he's in amazing shape, skates like the wind, and with this style of play, should be able to perform at a high level for the next 4 seasons.
Here's my concern, though.
Sure.
He only played about 50 games in each of the, not this last season. This last season, he played all 82 games. But in each of the 4 seasons before that, he never played more than 56 games in a season.
Mm.
And over those 4 years, had a combined total of 27 goals in that span.
Well,
and
remember, it's a defenseman.
And it was an average of minus like 15 for 3 of those 4 years.
Ew. Okay, that's where it really gets ugly.
Now, here's the funny thing. He was a minus 26 this last year.
Yeah.
But scored 25 goals and had 76 assists.
That just shows how much garbage the San Jose Sharks have been.
Just no defense happening on that team because he's putting up.
He's a defenseman. Erik, you're on this side, jackass. Oh, sorry, coach.
Like, what does that say about San Jose that a dude who put up 101 points last season is still a minus 26?
Yikes. No es bueno.
No es bueno at all, man. Like, I'd have to go back and look, like, how many goals. Like, I'd be curious as to where they rank in goals allowed. They gave up a total of 294 goals last season.
That's a lot of. That's probably why we don't see him this time of year.
That might have a little something to do with
this. This article is saying the Wings are getting closer to becoming a serious threat in the Eastern Conference, and this move is a giant step forward in the process. Having Mo Sider and Karlsson on the right side gives Detroit the best 1-2 combo in the league. So, Sean,
for what's worth, 264 is how many the Wings gave up last year.
Yeah, it was not good.
Yeah.
They did better this season, but yeah, nobody was dusting off the mantle for a Stanley Cup.
To be fair, also, James Reimer is terrible.
Yeah.
And Kaapo Kähkönen, who was apparently their backup, isn't much better.
Him. Yeah.
I always forget that guy exists, mostly because, God, he stunk up the joint this year.
Mm-hmm. Would you pull the trigger on that trade? Sharks keeping 50% of the salary, giving up the first-round pick, 17th overall, so you would still have your ninth. And a second-round pick, of which Detroit has 3 second-round picks this year.
So a first, a second, and a guy I've never heard of? Yeah. Sold.
Sold.
I'd do it.
I wasn't liking the idea, but as I'm reading it out loud and spelling all the big words, I'm actually kind of okay with this.
Like, if that were to be the trade that's offered, I certainly wouldn't pass it up. Like, you've got another defenseman who was contributing quite, you know, strongly offensively to his team last year. And, you know, getting him out of a garbage situation like the one he's in San Jose can't possibly hurt his value any.
So, as we get to the draft, they're saying that Yzerman is going to be making some moves.
We got to be getting close to that time, really.
Yeah.
You would think.
Making bargaining a little bit. Maybe getting some free agents in July, that's going to help the team take another step forward. They have $30 million in cap space, but they still have some players to sign.
Yeah, there's a few things that yet need to be attended to for sure.
So we shall see. I have to.
Well, we'll get into all that.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I'm just kind of educating myself over here, but yeah. So, yeah, it is definitely going to be interesting. I don't know. I'd pull the trigger on that trade.
If that's the real thing that is actually offered, yeah, I would do it all day, every day.
Yeah, I got to keep some of that salary though, San Jose. You wrote that check. You got to pony up some of that cash.
Right, but also you got to keep in mind that could make the return have to go up too, depending on how much cap they're eating.
Well, if it's a deal that's on this screen, I'm cool with it. But if they want, like, both our first-round draft picks, Steve Yzerman, I don't see him really giving up that many draft picks. He's Scrooge McDuck when it comes to draft picks. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think that would happen either. But we have not yet really seen Yzerman in full, like, actually, you know, making trades and moves and things mode. So.
Right. He's been kind of reserved because he knows the team's not ready. But now you're starting to see some younger players really come into their own. You got some people that you sign, like David Perron, who are really kind of having a good role in the team. So maybe he's starting to think, okay, maybe not Stanley Cup, but maybe let's playoffs.
Yeah, playoffs are definitely a possibility, I would think, for this year. So, like, this seems like about the time, like, okay, we have that core. Let's go out and get those guys.
Yep.
Here's Gaslight Anthem, your local alternative is Solid State Radio. 30 Seconds of Mars, your local alternative, Solid State Radio. What's going on? It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell here on a Tuesday afternoon, and we have some big sports news to talk about. Probably the biggest news going down in the world of sports today.
Really?
Like, easily the biggest thing going down, and it's a sport that obviously we care a great deal about on this radio show.
Hockey?
No. Golf.
Oh, jeez. Wow, I didn't realize. Yes, absolutely. Let's go ahead and talk about that golf game.
Yeah, no. So what happened apparently is, so for the last year, there's been this splinter, like, golf league such as it is, this LIV Golf thing, and we've more or less spent the last year having to hear about from anybody who is involved in PGA that they've been complaining about, like, how dare anyone support this? How dare these players leave? The PGA is going to ban any golfer who went to join that league, the rival league there, and yeah. They're going to ban them from any PGA competitions and all of this, and there's been a lot of war of words between a lot of people. Rory McIlroy just going out, you know, hard against anybody who's leaving to join this thing. Phil Mickelson, of course, going out there and taking all the shots at the PGA. Greg Norman, even more so. And now the two leagues are merging, apparently.
Ah, okay.
Well, after having to listen to the last year about how this is terrible for the sport because blah, blah, loyalty to PGA, blah, blah, the Saudis are funding this, and if you support this, you're evil, you're supporting sports washing, and yada, yada, yada. And now PGA is getting in bed with them. So now it's going to be all miraculously okay now because they're no longer a threat to the PGA.
Yeah.
The Saudis are evil until we do business with them. That's the them's the rules. I don't make the rules.
Yeah, I hate it unless it's putting money in my pocket. Now it's like, okay, yeah, we let bygones be bygones.
Like, we literally had to sit for like a year and watch, like, you know, Jay Monahan and the commissioner of PGA and all of his, like, biggest sycophants going out there and trying to play the moral high ground, like, at least we're not supporting Saudi sports washing, the people who are responsible for 9/11 and killing journalists and all this. We would never do business with them, even though we've been doing business with them through the LPGA for years, but let's not talk about that right now. We would never get into business with those kind of people. We're a better, more pure organization. Oh, wait, they're offering us money? Okay.
All right.
Saudis are totally cool then. So basically just like the U.S. government, but still.
Yeah, pretty much.
They're totally evil, but yeah, we'll totally get in bed with them. There's money to be had there. How about that oil?
Yeah, I mean, hypocrisy, it rears its head everywhere.
It runs rampant, really.
Yeah. You see that all the time in sports. It's like, we hate that player. We hate him. Oh, he's playing for us. Love him. Can't get enough of this guy.
And it seemed like the crazy thing is, like, Liv was supposedly kind of on the ropes. Like, there was legal challenges going on in the court between them and PGA that it seemed like PGA stood a good chance to win. They have this BS TV deal with the CW. Did you know they did live sports on the CW?
I thought CW folded like years ago. I always confused them with UPN.
They were the thing that came out of WB and UPN merging, as it turns out.
Oh, gotcha.
And they were so successful with this Liv Golf thing that literally half their events were only streamed on the CW's website. You couldn't actually watch them on your over-the-air. Like, you had, like, a Saturday afternoon golf match that would get cut off at 6:30 locally for, like, infomercials or, like, a rerun of Two Broke Girls or something. Like, that's how high a priority these guys were to this network. So you had, like, you had a TV deal that makes the NHL's deal with NBC Sports Network look good by comparison. You had the entirety of, you know, the golfing establishment going out there and telling everybody and a lot of their sycophants in the media too, going out and basically telling you you're a horrible person if you support Liv because of the Saudis being involved and all this, like, you're supporting human rights abuses and so on and so forth if you watch this golf league that's not the PGA.
Yeah.
You went out of your way to throw all this down, and you end up going and taking a merger after all that. After all this nonsense, that's the outcome here. Like, I thought PGA was basically won this battle, and now we're just giving up.
Yeah, I mean, now they're probably like, oh, well, with us involved, they're, you know, we're gonna solve all the world's problems. We are the world.
We love Saudi money. Just don't look over there where they're beheading that journalist over there.
Anyway, yeah, don't look over there. Oh, look, oil.
Like, it's just amazing how, like, and I'm sure, like, all of the full-throated defenders of the defenders of the faith when it comes to the PGA are going to fall in lockstep real quick over this. Like, it shows you just how gutless some of these people really are, as long as they're in bed with whoever's in charge at the time.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's really not going to change my golf watching habits.
Same. Like, golf is still boring as hell to me, and I have no intention on watching it.
I mean, I have sat there and watched golf. If I'm watching it with somebody who cares about, like, the guy who used to own Michael's Roadhouse, mm-hmm. Drew and I would sit there, and we'd watch golf with this guy, because he got it. He would get into it. He knew the players. He knew everything, the courses and everything else, to the point where I sat down one time and I'm like, oh, where is this at? And it was the Masters, so I should have known it was in Augusta, Georgia. You blasphemous bastard, get out of my bar. Oh, sorry. Sorry I didn't get that memo. But yeah, but watching it, you know, that, it's a little bit more entertaining, but I've never, hey, let's go sit down and put on golf.
Yeah, no, it's never really been my forte by any means. I just, and really, like I said, the only reason I even felt the need to bring it up, you know, because no one's ever going to confuse me with an expert on golf.
No.
Is because I see all of these stories that keep going down about how, you know, you're a, you know, basically, you know, certain sections of the media being like, you're a bad person if you support this golf league. You're a horrible human being.
Yep.
And I'm just wondering how quickly all of that's just going to suddenly dissipate.
It probably already has.
I'm sure. Like, I just look forward to see how they're going to twist themselves out of this one. It's Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. 741 on your local alternative Solid State Radio. It is Happy Hour. He's Adam Harahawk. I'm Sean Cantwell.
There's companies out there, and when I say companies, I mean most employers, have to really learn how to value their employees.
That will never happen.
Well, we talk about, like, you know, fast food industry. We talk about a lot of industries, but
most possibly,
especially when it comes to the tech field, you know, high tech businesses, you think they'd want to take care of their people, but no, there's this guy, he is suing IBM because he hasn't received a raise in 15 years. His last raise was in 2008.
Wow. That's, How do you work for a place for 15 years and never get a raise and be like, you know, this seems like a good place to stay?
Well, because, as I have failed to mention, he's been on sick leave for 15 years.
How in the hell do you manage that?
Senior IT worker in the UK, who's been on sick leave since 2008, took his employer to court for discrimination because he didn't receive a salary hike. As per the report, Ian Clifford is employed by tech giant IBM, but he's been sick for the past 15 years.
That's a hell of an illness to keep you off the work job for 15 years.
Yeah. According to his LinkedIn profile, he's been medically retired since 2013. However, he claimed that he was a victim of disability discrimination because his salary had not been increased in the 15 years he was off work. Now, it sounds like I was bad-mouthing IBM. That was just a red herring, but under an IBM health plan, the IT specialist receives more than £54,000, so, you know, I don't know how that works all over to U.S. money. He's guaranteed to receive the salary until he is 65. But the employee argued that health plan was not generous enough because his salary would wither over time due to inflation.
Huh?
Yep.
How does any of that work?
He's on disability for 15 years, and the guy's bitching about it.
Now, does it say anything about what the medical whatever is that has kept him from working for literally a decade and a half?
No, it does not. I'm looking at him.
Are we talking like some Marian Hossa thing where he's like allergic to his work uniform now somehow?
He can't go to work without his emotional support hippopotamus, and they just don't have that kind of accommodations at IBM. IBM offered him a compromise agreement where he was put onto the company's disability plan so he wouldn't be dismissed. Under the plan, a person who is unable to work is not dismissed but remains an employee and has no obligation to work. I want that gig.
Right?
An employee on that.
Find me a company with that gig.
Right.
I mean, not that I have a problem working if I'm doing this, but like, mm-hmm. Find me a company in a field that I know absolutely nothing about. Let me fool my way to getting hired there and then somehow manage to immediately retire.
Exactly. An employee on the plan has a right until recovery, retirement, or death, if earlier, to be paid 75% of agreed earnings. In this case, his salary was £72,000, meaning from 2013, he was paid £54,000 per year after 25% was deducted. Well, you know what you do then, dude? You don't live, I mean, you're not driving back and forth to work. You're saving that kind of money. Or get a gig that's under the table.
Right. You know? And even then, like, you know what would really help in all of this?
Yeah.
If I knew how many, like, what the conversion rate here, what was. So, it's 1 pound is a $1.25 US. So this actually
72,000 would be.
Yeah, so you're talking like you're like already you would have me at $50,000 just that by itself would be pretty damn amazing because that's what you say he's currently getting paid is $52,000
$54,000
or 54,000 pounds
54,000 pounds.
So this man's literally getting paid $67,000 US to sit on his ass. I don't want to hear anything else. I don't want to hear another word out of this guy bitching about anything.
Oh, and his wife, former Swedish model.
Right.
Screw this guy forever.
Right. Like, dude's making 90 grand working when he was actually working, and it's still getting paid $69,000 now. Go F yourself.
Yeah, and he's suing him because it's not enough.
$62,000 just isn't a lifestyle he can afford to live on. Like this just seems like the biggest load of crap I've ever heard in my life.
Then,
like, it gets worse.
No, I'm just kind of comparing two different jobs. I mean, you got this one cat who's been on disability for 15 years, just raking in the money. Doesn't have to work, and he has it until he's 65. Then you go over to Japan, and this poor guy, his job is to dress up in a lion costume during a drill if a real lion escapes.
Does he work at a zoo or something?
Yeah, he works at a zoo. Footage captured at a Japan's Tobe Zoo shows a human dressed up in a lion costume during a drill for an escaped animal. In the background, the real lions watch the charade with a nonplussed expression. They're like, go, I guess. The elaborate drills are common in Japan, with a polar bear, a leopard, and even a rhino escape have all been staged. The earthquake-prone country performs the drills, which end with the animal being tranquilized in case a natural disaster leaves animal enclosures ruined and a real lion on the run. I guess, yeah, I didn't think about that. But so real lions are watching this poor bastard running around in a lion costume, and then they tranquilize him. Let that be a lesson to the two of you all.
Let that be a warning to the others.
The other lions are like, I can run faster than that a-hole.
God, I would hope so.
Yeah, see the guy with the gun? Yeah, we're going to eat him first.
Right. It is Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. Stick around. Jack Daniels! It's Happy Hour at Solid State Radio as we get the hell out of Dodge on a Tuesday afternoon. Stick around for Adam Harahawk's 20-part series on trapping and raising otters for fun and profit.
No, it's 2 for Tuesday on Sessions. Buy one, get one free of some of your favorite Michigan artists.
All being well, talk to you tomorrow at 3. See ya!